the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for this fourth Sunday in Advent, this Sunday of Lytare, the Gospel according to St. John, the sixth chapter. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "Truly this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord has been healing diseases. And the people like this, and so a great many come out to where he is. Jesus has gone up on a mountain with his disciples. We are told that the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. This is one of several places in the Gospel according to St. John where it's just kind of awkward that there's no lamb mentioned. How do you have Passover without a Passover lamb? But there's no lamb here. Oh, wait, there is. This is the same gospel in which we hear St. John the Baptist saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb. But as we hear this text, we also think back on the 23rd Psalm. He who is the Lamb of God is also the Good Shepherd, who then makes these people to lie down in green pastures. There is much grass in the place. These things Jesus does. And then, of course, the question, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And Jesus says this just to test him, just to teach him, if you will, and to teach us. In past times, when I have preached on this text, I've often invited you to put yourselves in the shoes of that boy with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread, offering these things up in what looked like a trivial contribution. to a far huger problem. And behold what the Lord did with that, and thus you are encouraged to make whatever contributions you can, not just in terms of offering, but in terms of doing good in this world, confident that our Lord will take that and do far more with it than you ever imagined. But today, let's put ourselves in a different set of shoes. Let's put ourselves in Philip's shoes, or for that matter, in the shoes of the 5,000 who are there. Where are they going to get something to eat? You know, I am 58. And in all the years of my life, there has, to my recollection, never been a single day when I wondered what, if anything, I was going to get to eat that night. Lived in a land of plenty all of my days. I've prayed, "Give us this day our daily bread." But in some ways, I had the freedom to pray that almost as a formality. I knew there would be daily bread. Here, just a few days ago, I went over to my wife's place of employment at a major grocery store in town, and the shelves had been emptied of bread. Now, I'm pleased to say there were plenty of other things. It's not like there was no food to be found in our community or something like that, but already that was gone. We hear about people hoarding other things as well. What our Lord taught Philip and what he taught those 5,000 that day is that he will provide. And if your eyes are fixated on an empty grocery store shelf, you may be tempted to doubt that. But if your eyes are fixed on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can trust that when you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," that prayer will be answered. The Lord will provide. And in this day in which we see many of our fellow citizens hoarding things, and then others, the elderly or the weaker among us, unable to get the things that they need, I invite you to be different. Be people whose eyes are focused on the Lord, who trust that He will provide daily bread. And instead of hoarding, be instruments of His generosity to those you may see who are in need. So let the difference between the people of the Lord and those who are not be seen. Our Lord takes the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed. And after the same manner also the fish. What He does here is not the Lord's Supper, but it certainly points us forward to the Lord's Supper, where He takes loaves and does not just feed us to give us life for a day, but feeds us with His own body and with the cup, His own blood, that we may have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Each of these things points somewhat to the other. As we receive daily bread, we are reminded of the far more important bread. And conversely, as we receive the bread and wine that are the body and blood of our Lord in Holy Communion, we are reminded that as we can trust the Lord to take care of our single biggest need, our sins and how they separate us from God, as He has taken that away and forgiven it by the sacrifice of His own body and blood on the cross, and then the distribution of that body and blood to us in the Holy Sacrament, we can trust that He who takes care of our great big need will also surely take care of whatever need we have for a loaf of bread or a roll of toilet paper. That isn't that much trust to ask. And for us as the faithful, we know we can and we gladly do trust the Lord for these things. Once the Lord has provided this, well, no surprise here. He heals diseases. Boy, that would be popular today. And He provides food. That would also be popular today. They decide to come make Him king by force. It's kingship in the way of the law. You provide these things, therefore we will make you king. Jesus has come to be an entirely different kind of king. He's come to be a king by way of the gospel, distributing forgiveness of sins and eternal life, far more important than these temporal needs that so occupy our minds today. The coronation ceremony, of course, will also be different from what these people had in mind. He will be crowned with thorns and enthroned upon a cross. This is the kind of king we have. A king who loves us unto death, who sacrifices Himself on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. True God and true man, and so His sacrifice counts in our place as human beings, and yet it is also an infinite, unlimited sacrifice, the sacrifice of the God-man, sufficient to pay for all of the sin of the whole world. This He does for us on the cross. We look forward to the great assurance that death has been defeated as we celebrate Easter a few weeks from now and the glorious resurrection of our Lord. But for today, dear ones in Christ, take heart. Your every need has been attended to, including your most important one for the forgiveness of sins. All of this by the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.